This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
That's right. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and this is the Scoreboard Show. We want to hear from you. 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351, or if you don't feel like paying for the call, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars ending the season a lot like they began it, a bad loss, 30-10, 4-12 on the year, but despite all that, gotta say, it was an improved year. I mean, they doubled their win total from last year.
Yep.
They had the second-best record in the division. Couldn't say that stuff last year, and, you know, they have a worse draft pick than they did last year. So even that's an improvement. They'll probably end up picking third, whereas they picked second last year. So all in all, improvements all around.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, this was a better team. You got a coach that brought in some vibrance, you know, some excitement, the type of plays that they were running. Even the players that they have, you know, these young guys, A. Sanders, who else can we say, Todman, these young guys that stepped in and played, brought a little excitement also to the fans for us to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and you had some guys that faltered this year as well. You know, a guy like Denard Robinson, who you thought was going to be the exciting guy, the guy, the big play, the wildcat back, whatever you want to call him, the offensive weapon, ended up having the most lost fumbles on the team and barely played any snaps.
Yeah, and Gabbert, too. I mean, it was a disappointment
a bigger disappointment in your eyes? Was it Gabbert or was it Denard Robinson?
I'm going to say Gabbert because Denard Robinson, you know, he was a rookie. Coming in, you know, he hadn't built up any expectations. He was a fifth-round draft pick. You know, Gabbert, on the other hand, was a first-rounder, been in, you know, given a lot of opportunities, and just instead. Matter of fact, I was a Gabbert advocate, so you know I'm disappointed.
I'd go with Denard Robinson, though, because really? I think with Gabbert, we kind of knew. He had struggled for his first couple years. Now, we always came up with the excuses of, well, he's had three different coaches. He's had three different offensive coordinators. He was kind of thrown into a system before he was ready, didn't have the wide receivers around him, but you kind of knew going in, if you take his first 2 years as an example, didn't really have the skills to play in the NFL. Now, maybe he can develop those if he can sit behind a quarterback, learn a little bit, not have to be thrust into a starting role right away. Maybe he can develop that over the time. But Denard Robinson, he was the guy that, I mean, you look what he did at Michigan. He was the all-around, all-purpose back. They invented a new position for him called the offensive weapon. I mean, and then just to come out. And they didn't know what to do with him. I mean, wherever they put him on the field, he didn't seem to succeed. And eventually, I think they just kind of gave up on him towards the end of the year.
But I don't know. But being a fifth-round pick, it's not a lot of expectations for you to come up and light it up. You know, it was disappointing the way that he played, but I would have to still say Gabbert to me, man, you just didn't give me what I was looking for, that's for sure.
We're going to be taking your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We're going to be talking a lot of off-season stuff, go a little bit on the game. We have a couple questions for all the callers, and you, Marco, about this off-season. So let's go to the phones, and let's start off with John in Middleburg. John, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
Good, man. John.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment earlier that I heard on a show. You've mentioned a little bit during the season, too, about Maurice Drew. You know, are we going to bring him back next year? I don't think it's a fair shake for him because simply every time that he gets the ball, 90% of the time, the offensive call is for him to run up the gut. And when we had Taylor doing the same thing, they did the same thing. They blocked it right up. You couldn't even get through. So, I mean, and he's also kind of injured a little bit this year, but is that really a fair shake to him when it's all offense for him to go up the gut with the ball?
Well, I think it's a fair shake because, number one, for how many years was Maurice Jones-Drew the only offensive weapon that we had as the Jaguars on the Jaguars team? And he was able to make those plays. He was still leading the league in rushing for years when he was the only offensive player that we really had on this team. And, you know, once you get to 30, like it or not, a running back at age 30, they're not the same running back anymore. We've seen it in the league for many examples. Different guys, once they hit that thing, they get the injuries. They're not the same player that they used to. So I think it is a fair shake because you're just comparing him to other backs his age and to the player he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way that he's gotten his yardage in the past. It has been primarily. He's not a, up the middle. He's not a perimeter runner. It's the burst that he has that he would hit the holes a little bit faster because they open and close. There were some opportunities, but he just didn't have the same burst. And I attribute that to the offseason when he went into it injured and not able to have a full offseason to heal up and, more than anything, really prepare his body for the football season.
And you know what? Now that I look at it a little bit after you made that comment, you know, that makes perfect sense because I really didn't see the quick burst like he used to have.
Yeah, because against Indianapolis, I mean, the highlights they were showing during the course of the game, they were showing him running up the middle, and then the next thing you know, he's out of there and he's running past the defensive backs. He didn't do too much of that this season.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say thanks for the call, John.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a happy new year.
Hey, same to you, John.
And that's the thing we don't know about Maurice Jones-Drew, but either way, it's not a good sign. Is it because he wasn't healthy, or is it because he's getting up in age and he's just not the same back he used to be? Either way, it's not a good sign for him, and it's not a good sign for him coming back.
Yeah, I mean, you figure for him and his marketability, because now he'll go out, and I'm sure, I think that the management will allow him to go see what his market price is out there, and even their conversations with other general managers, and that's what's going to be offered to MJD. I don't think it'll be a significant contract, and he'll have to make a decision, do I want to come stay here where I've built something and continue to, you know, add on to the legacy of being a Jaguar, or go somewhere where he might have an opportunity to take less and probably play now for a Super Bowl.
I think it's smart on the GM's part to let him go out there because a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew, he's obviously going to want to get the most money, and he has all the bargaining chips right now. But if you say, you know what, go out and let us know and come back to us, and you know if we'll match it, and we may be, maybe not. And he'll see there's probably not a big market for him. Like we were just talking about, there's never been a big market for running backs over 30 years old. That's right around where he's going to be at, and maybe he does come back and he says, you know what, no one's offering me anything. I'd like to come back and finish out my career here, and you know, I'll do it for, you know, a mil a year for the next 3 years.
And we'll just say, shatter all the rushing records, you know, and work his way into getting his name blasted and put up there in the pride.
355-NFL1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Russ in Orlando. Russ, how you doing?
Russ.
I'm doing great, fellas. Enjoy the show. I always come up from Orlando to check out the games. Lifer, as far as Jags fan, what do you think? Do you think we have to draft a quarterback? Do you think any of these quarterbacks that are trying to make names for themselves in some limited play could do the job for us? I mean, what's your take on what's out there available for us to grab at a quarterback position? I mean, you got the free agent, maybe possibly a kid in Washington. You got a kid that played well in Chicago. Are any of these guys worth looking at?
Well, you bring up a great point, and that's one of my questions I had for Marco this week. So let's get right to it. What is the top draft pick the Jaguars are going to go after this year? Is it going to be a quarterback, a pass rusher, the best available player, or another?
Well, in my opinion, the top five quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not in no particular order. I'll say that because I like.
Because last week you were knocking on.
I like
AJ McCarron.
He had a heck of a game, but again, Miami, they lost to Duke too. So I mean, hey, come on. But Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr with Fresno, a good quarterback. Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles with UCF, AJ McCarron. You know, these guys are some.
No,
really,
Johnny Manziel in that top five.
Well, yeah,
huh?
Johnny Manziel also. I mean,
wouldn't put him in the top five.
I mean, but
that's just me.
As far as talent wise, these guys are pretty good. I like AJ McCarron. I think that he's probably the most apt to come in and right now perform well. Teddy Bridgewater is a true junior. I just don't think he will be able to stand up and be quite ready to take the team where they want to go. I think the Jaguars right now are just that young quarterback away in some weapons to get Blackman, another wide receiver or two, a running back, and they can compete in the next season, you know, maybe about a 7-9 type of season. But I think that'll be better. I think it'll be done with a guy like AJ McCarron, personally.
That's why I think the first round you have to go with best available, because this team has so many holes. I mean, we've listed them multiple times on the show. You know, they need a quarterback. They could use a big wide receiver. They could use a pass rusher. They could use a stout defensive lineman to help them stop the run and pick up some double teams. So I wouldn't reach for the quarterback position necessarily this year unless, you know, you got to look at Houston. They're probably taking, if, let's just say, Teddy Bridgewater is the number one overall pick, I'm sure they're taking him because they really are in need of a quarterback there. After that, you got the Rams. They could go either way because they're getting the pick from Washington. You know, they could take a quarterback. They could not. That leaves you with either the second best quarterback or maybe the best pass rusher in a Clowney. You know, you got the best of almost every position except for probably quarterback and we'll say tackle. Mm-hmm. And they got their tackle last year. So you really still have the pick of everything. That's why I say I wouldn't stretch for a QB when you could get a guy like an A.J. McCarron's or what's the guy from Georgia who tore his ACL up?
Murray.
Yeah, Murray. He could be around in the third, fourth round. Another quarterback that might have gone in the first if he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, but now you're back with Henny again. And now you're still going to have a quarterback that throws more interceptions than touchdowns. You know, he's done that all throughout his whole career. I think you have to just allow Henny to be a backup and bring in and start nurturing a young quarterback that's going to be for the future. I think you just go ahead and get the quarterback, get that solidified. You got somebody protecting his backside. Get a really stout quarterback in there.
Well, you're taking your calls to 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. And when we come back, we'll get into maybe some of those free agent quarterbacks the Jags might be looking at. Jags fans, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, to get caught up on all the latest Jaguar news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. This is the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by PRI Productions. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and we're taking your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. It was a 30-10 loss, but we're talking about the future. This is the official start of the postseason right here. And we were talking before the break about, you know, some quarterbacks, free agents, or drafting. Got a list here of a couple guys. Marco, I want to see your opinion and get the caller's opinion as well. If any of these guys you think would be better right now than Chad Henne. A guy like Michael Vick's going to be a free agent this year. Mm-hmm. Jay Cutler is going to be a free agent. He could be franchised. They could try and trade him. I think a lot depends with Cutler what happens in the game today. But his backup also, Josh McCown, who played pretty well all year, he's going to be a free agent, as well as Josh Freeman. Any of those guys would you rather have than Chad Henne right now?
Probably only Jay Cutler, you know, but then he's going to come with such a significant price tag. You're better off going ahead and getting a rookie quarterback. It's going to cost too much for him. Michael Vick, I don't think he'll fit what they're trying to do offensively. I think he's going to probably be a backup for the rest
of the year. But do we really know? I mean, we kind of talked about this last week. Do we know what they want to do offensively? Because you have Gus Bradley coming from Seattle, and they ran, you know, the read option.
Read option, yeah.
And the two quarterbacks that were here are definitely not read option quarterbacks. So do we know that definitely this is the offense they want to run, or are they running an offense based on the personnel that they have available?
And I would have to say they were running it off based off the personnel they had available, because when you had Gabbert in, you had a different type of play because he was more athletic than Henny. And then also when you had Blackman in, it was also a different style of offense. So I think, you know, Babish did a good – Fitch did a pretty good job of adjusting to what he had. You know, these short pass plays where he didn't, you know, Henny's arm or maybe even the wide receiving core didn't fit trying to get the ball down the field. So, you know, he figured only averaged, 6.3 yards per pass. That's last in the league. You know, so they weren't going down the field at all. So I do believe that it was adjusted. Now, what type of offense they're going to run, again, I just don't think that Michael Vick will fit. I just don't think he's just not the guy he once was.
You need a guy that can play 16 games, and he proves he can't do it.
I think these young quarterbacks, they're the most flexible as to what you want to do offensively. You can mold them into now becoming what you want. And they do a lot more things in college, you know, except for A.J. McCarron. He's probably more of a
Peyton Manning pocket passer type.
Pocket passer. But
we'll see more once the combine comes around, just see how quick he is, what kind of skills he has running.
Yeah.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Lucas on the north side. Lucas, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Hey, I just want to say, look back and see what happened with Seattle and Russell Wilson. Because we had Matt, who was supposedly the hottest free agent quarterback. Everyone thought that he was going to be amazing. He was Aaron Rodgers' backup. And then they brought in this guy who was a third-round draft pick. And that guy ended up being Russell Wilson and dominating. So that's why I think with our third overall pick, when you go ahead and pick Clowney, change the entire defense by drafting Clowney, and then get your guy in the second or third round.
I mean, I can't argue with it, because it looks like right now these third-round quarterbacks are the ones that are succeeding in the NFL. I mean, you look at it, like you mentioned, Russell Wilson, another third-round pick. guy out of Philly, Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. He's dominating the league right now as well. He was another third-round pick. So, I mean, you're starting to prove, and even a guy like Kirk Cousins, who's playing all right, a decent mm-hmm. backup, you can get a quarterback in the later rounds now, whereas before it's like, all right, if you don't get the top two quarterbacks, then you're done and you're just wasting draft picks later on.
Yeah, you know, like I said, Clowney, you know, he definitely will make a difference on a team. But on a team that the biggest need for this team is at quarterback. I mean, I think that they are limited in the type of plays that they're calling, the scheme of the offense that go after when you have the third pick. What is your biggest need? And who's the best player at that position? And I think you do that at the quarterback.
Clowney worries me, and there's a couple reasons why he worries me. Why? Because he's another one of those guys, the human highlight. He had the best play on ESPN for how long, and then wanted to come out early, wasn't allowed because of age restrictions. Comes back this year and had a horrible year, and mostly because mm-hmm. he had toned it down, didn't want to get hurt, which is understandable, but that also goes to character.
Right.
Add to these all these speeding tickets he's been getting lately for flying around. You know, are we going to see with Clowney another Justin Blackmon type of guy that exactly. the off-the-field things, the off-the-field issues with whether it's the law or just, you know, mm-hmm. reckless fooling around is going to cost you and you're just going to waste another first-round pick? He worries me.
Yeah, and he wasn't dominant this year. I mean, you saw a lot of offensive tackles that aren't even considered to be big-time offensive linemen do a pretty decent job against him. And each and every week in this league, he's going to see some guys that can get it done. So, I think with that third pick, I just think the quarterback will be there. It's going to be probably the best deal. You have several, I won't say can't miss quarterbacks, because any of these rookies, whether it be the first or the seventh pick, it doesn't matter, seventh round, you just don't know with a rookie, period. But you got some guys that have a pretty decent body of work with Bridgewater, McCarron, even Manziel. You know, he's a little small or whatnot, but then you think about how Breeze has been able to light up the league, and this guy's a lot better.
He's the only one. I mean, when I look at Johnny Manziel, I see a guy like a Michael Vick or a guy like a Tim Tebow that uses their legs more than their arms, and they got away with a lot of stuff because of speed. Like, you know, he gets away with a lot of things because he's playing in college. I don't think he's going to have the same success running and passing the way he would in college that he would in the NFL.
It's all about him being able to mature and the discipline. That's the only issue. Like, with him and with Bridgewater is just the tenure in college. You know, he's a redshirt sophomore. Bridgewater only 3 years in college. You know, but McCarron, he's just mature. He's coming out of this thing just ready, man.
Do you think you can get McCarron in the third round, or do you think you'd have to get him in the second round?
I would say the second round. And, you know, so now you figure you got, you know, the wide receivers. You know, you can probably go with Sammy Watkins at the wide receiver, you know, with that third pick possibly. And then you shore that up. And I don't know if that could possibly be an option. So,
also, some good free agents coming on this year as well. And you look at the wide receiver, if you're looking to upgrade there, Eric Decker is going to be one. Hakeem Nix, I wouldn't go his way because I just think he's a little old in the tooth. Jeremy Maclin coming off an injury, but has a pretty successful early career. Anquan Boldin, a guy that's the ageless wonder. It seems like everywhere he goes, the teams go to Super Bowls, and he just keeps making plays, even though he's at 33.
Yeah.
You know, or a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, James Jones. So it's a pretty deep class of wide receivers. So I'd say stay away.
Brandon LaFell, he's a pretty speedy guy.
Yeah, I'd say stay away from the draft and go free agency that way.
They need a speedy guy. They need someone that's going to be a deep threat. Right now, all the wide, other than Blackmon, really, he's not a deep threat either. They don't have a deep. I mean, you talk about Cecil Shorts. He's really not a deep threat. He's unless you got a whole bunch of guys that's bringing.
You got Blackmon coming over the middle, using his size and strength, and then you can send Cecil Shorts deep.
Or when you have a running game that completely puts nine in a block. You know, nine in a box. Excuse me.
355 NFL1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Cameron on the south side. Cameron, how you doing?
Fine. How are you doing tonight, guys?
Good, man.
Marco.
What's happening, man?
Number 91, man. How's it going?
Hey, man, just trying to keep it going, getting ready for the new year.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing. Even though we aren't going to end up, even though we're not going to do what we wanted to do this year, hey, just look at it this way. At least we're not 2-14, man.
Yeah, you got better. You got two games.
At least we are not 2-14. So, I have a question for you about the draft. I actually have two questions. One about free agency and one about the draft.
What you got?
As far as free agency goes, we have to go probably many directions, but which direction in particular do you think we need to go? And question number two, if both sides of the ball, which side of the ball do you think we're going to start with in the draft?
Well, you know, in free agency, you know, you got Michael Bennett out there on the defensive line that was one of Gus's guys out in Seattle. I wouldn't be surprised if he brought him along to maybe even help bolster that defensive line and bring a presence in the pass rush and all those type of things. You got Hardy that we saw out there.
We were watching him today, and he looked beastly. I would love to see him in Jacksonville, but you know what? I think he plays too well. I don't see Carolina. I see them paying top dollar to keep him there.
They're going to keep him there, man. You know, so you got guys like that. You got Jared Allen, but I think he's a little long in the tooth. I don't know if they want to spend money. I'm just thinking about pass rushers as far as a free agency. You know, a little bit more for sure shots than messing around with if you're not able to get a guy like, or you don't go after Clowney or someone in that first round. Mm-hmm. That would be a good deal. And I even think possibly even at the linebacker position, you can go and do some things, you know, out there. You got like Carlos Dansby, you got Woodward.
Daryl Smith.
Yeah.
You can always bring him back.
John Beeson. I mean, you got some guys that are, I think those, that defensive line and possibly even at the linebacker position could be some positions that you could upgrade through the free agency. Even what you think about running back? What's available at running back? You got Maurice, but Ben Tate, bring Rashad Jennings back.
I think Sean Moreno's a free agent as well.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I think between the linebacker, pass rusher, and running back, I think those are some options as far as the free agency, bringing some guys in here.
I think free agency, the offense has been so bad this year. I think you need to at least start there and get some playmakers in, and then also draft. I think the defense is okay. They just need a couple more pieces and to keep that young thing going. But I say free agency, go offense. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking more of your calls after this. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Coming right back on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. You're listening to the Scoreboard Show brought to you by Crown Royal Maple Whiskey. Started Maple Finish. We're taking your phone calls, talking all about the upcoming postseason. And let's go to Jonathan in Tallahassee. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Hey,
good,
man.
I thought we played okay, but it was really disappointing. But I felt like we got better. This year than last year. We just doubled our win total. But what we need, you're right. What everybody's basically right. We need a quarterback. But here's my take on things. I think what we're going to end up doing is we're going to keep Chad around to mentor. Because I think we'll end up having to draft a quarterback somewhere in the draft, and Chad will probably mentor the rookie, and we'll probably end up having to either release or trade Gabbert.
Yeah, I think Gabbert's getting an outright release. I don't think anyone's going to trade for him. I don't see that coming along.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree. I agree with you, Jonathan, as far as with the quarterback position.
What about and a wide receiver? I agree with you, Marco, on Sammy Watkins. I've been on that kid. I've been wanting to get that kid for good. I have my questions about Clowney.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will. He said those first three picks, you never know, he may fall. Because the whole process in the draft process with these rookies will be going to the combine, sitting down, talking to them. And they not only look at what's going on in the field, they want to see, you know, how will you handle now being a professional? You know, he didn't do a heck of a job of handling all the expectations coming into this season. So now if you're picked in as a first-round draft pick for an NFL team, how will you handle those expectations? Because now they won't be as nice to you in the media.
Yeah, especially when you're getting speeding tickets. And I don't know what kind of car he drives, but I'd imagine he can drive a lot faster car once he gets that nice signing bonus as a top three or top five pick, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that may be, depending on what he's driving, that may bring some NCAA investigations, you know?
I mean, but everybody's got that. I mean, you look at a guy like a Colin Kaepernick when he came out. I mean, he's tattooed all up and down. I got tattoos, too, and they don't come cheap.
They're not cheap.
How you can tattoo your whole body and not say you're not getting something on the side, you know?
Oh, man, yeah. So, I mean, I like I said, he's athletically and physically, he definitely has the potential to be a really good defensive end, but you got to question between his ears.
Well,
you got to
question the work ethic, too, because if he's worried about getting hurt, and that's why he didn't go all out this year, and you know he took a game off or two, plays off here and there, what's that going to say if he comes to a Jaguar team, and let's say they struggle, let's say they start 0-8 again, mm-hmm. is he going to be a kind of guy that bails, is like, I don't even want to play here anymore, so I'm just going to shut myself down, you know, I'll make a play here or there, keep my sacks up, and then just wait for free agency to come along.
And, you know, you're picking guys in those first few rounds, first 5-10 picks. You don't want to have those type of question marks.
You want the can't-miss guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So it's going to be real interesting to see how the general managers around the league really take a look at Clowney. And like I said, with the wide receiver, Sammy Watkins right now is a really good, fast, speedy, down-the-field wide receiver that could help Marquise Lee, another good, nice-sized wide receiver that can get that can stretch the field. You got the Mike Evans at Texas A&M, another big, strong, push in the mind of those Demaryius Thomas type wide receivers, real big guys that can also get down the field. So you got some nice options, but I don't know if they'll pick a wide receiver in the first round that early, at least with the third pick.
You don't have a Calvin Johnson type in this draft that you'd warrant picking that early.
Yeah.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to James in Gainesville. James, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
All right, my question was, with the trade for Monroe this year, how many draft picks did we get off of that?
I know we got a fourth rounder, and I can't remember. I think then a sixth or seventh, but I don't remember which one it was. I think it depended on how much he played this year.
But I know Jags now have 10 picks in the draft.
Okay, and the other question was, what would you do with that fourth round pick, I guess, since we got extra picks, sort of?
Me personally, if I could pull it off and there was a talent there that I wanted, I'd use it to trade back in the first round. Because if you're looking at it, you're going to have, you know, one of the top picks in the second round. So a team like, whoever ends up winning the Super Bowl, if it's, let's say, Denver, or, you know, a team that goes there like a Seattle, somebody like that, you can get back into the first round and move up 5 picks, and you wouldn't have to give up too much. You know, a fourth rounder doesn't seem that odd. I mean, I think every coach has, like, these play charts, just like they do on the field, mm-hmm. that says what each pick is actually worth, and that's kind of how they go through trades, where it's like, you know, the number one overall pick is worth, you know, let's say 3,000 points, then you got to figure out the combination that's going to get you there mm-hmm. later on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need that diamond in the rough, man. I mean, we need somebody like a Russell Wilson, I mean, a third-round pick that's just going to come and blow some socks off. I don't know if we can pull it off, but that would be great.
Well, Cyprian was they did a good job in this year's draft. I mean, I think the players – these rookies, they came out and they performed well. I thought, you know, Ace did a good job. Only one I would say, I don't even want to say is a bust. He was playing completely out of his normal position. Was Denard Robinson. You just don't, you know, I don't.
What is
just,
his normal position? Is the question. I think the Jaguars are asking themselves the same thing right now.
What is it that this guy can do? So it's, you know, that out of all those picks, he would be the only one that you say, a mistake was, I don't want to say a mistake, but just hasn't panned out just yet to what they had anticipated, at least in his rookie year. And that's going to be the case with every draft. I mean, the more that these, that Caldwell's guys get to, you know, picking these players, it's going to be some lemons.
They had some, rookie growing pains, and mm-hmm. everybody's going to have that. That's what happens when you have a young team. But you could see, like, a guy like a Cyprian is going to be one of those guys that can be around mm-hmm. and be a playmaker for a long period of time. Even Gratz, he had his time where he looked pretty good. He had some mm-hmm. growing pains and some injuries to deal with, but he looks like he could be a solid corner in the league as well.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good – again, this is a good rookie season. Really, the tale will be told once after about 3 seasons on really how well of a draft pick. You can't really say he was a great draft. He was good for one season. Let's see how well he does over the next 2 to 3 years.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. You talked about Denard Robinson. Play a little game. A little game called Keeper Cut. I'll give you a couple guys. You tell me if you should keep them on the roster for next year or you should cut them.
Okay.
Let's start with Denard Robinson. Do you keep him or do you cut him?
I think I keep him and work with him during the offseason and figure out.
Because remember, you can only have 53 guys on the roster.
I'm keeping Denard Robinson. He's just too special. Too much speed. Too much athleticism. You know he has the potential to get something done. Just get him. Offseason will be good. Another offseason, He'll get another shot this year.
I think you cut him, and here's why. I think because maybe it's the coaching staff, maybe it's Denard, but I think when you're on a 4-win team and you can't figure a team that's got receivers that have been out for whatever reason, injury or suspension, you have no depth at running back either. When Maurice Jones-Drew was out, you were going to Todman, and you're still not finding the field. Then there's problems there. When I can understand if you got good guys in front of you, and every time you go in, you know, there's an issue here, there. That's why you're not getting the playing time. But there's no reason he shouldn't have been out on the field, especially later in the season, and he still wasn't.
I mean, give him a shot. I mean, I wouldn't cut him until the training camp.
Season goes through, and you got final cuts.
I can understand where your point. I would give him at least through the offseason and into the training camp to see if he's picked it up yet. If he's gotten better, if not, then I could see. You know, I had further evaluation on Mr. Robinson.
What about Blaine Gabbert?
Think you can cut Blaine?
You wouldn't say just keep him around as the third quarterback?
Nah, you can get bring anybody that's going to be inactive each and every week. Not hold that money on the books.
Yeah, I'd cut him as well, but just playing a little devil's advocate there. I could see them keeping him on the roster because you already owe him the money. You're going to take a cap hit if you cut him. You know, just throw him in as the third quarterback and see what happens. I mean, maybe he'll develop under a system when he's got more than 1 year in it. he hasn't had that yet. You never know.
The Jags still have a lot of cap room, so getting rid of him, I don't think it'll hurt him that much. Especially he's going to be in the third year of his contract, so it probably won't be as significant as if they did it probably this year.
And what about Justin Blackmon?
I keep him.
That's a no-brainer, right? Yeah. I mean, even with the suspensions and the issues and the you don't know how long he's going to play, even, you know, like we were talking about, he's allowed to reapply at the beginning of next year. The NFL does not have to let him back that first week. So we could see, you know, weeks go by and he's still not in uniform.
Let me throw you some names at you on some troubled wide receivers. Michael Irving, Chris Carter, Irving Fry. I mean, Irving Fryer. I mean, these guys are
even
all
Randy Moss.
I mean, these guys are Hall of Famers, you know, and they all had some form of issue at some point in time early in their careers. And when those guys matured, they became the best, some of the best in the business.
Sometimes being a diva is just too much to handle early on, right? 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Jay in Ponte Vedra. Jay, how you doing?
Hey, Dennis. How you doing, Mark? How are you guys doing? Happy New Year to you.
Oh, thanks. Same too.
All right. I just want to say, you know, we've seen a new coaching style and Gus Bradley and everything, and he seems to bring a lot of enthusiasm to the team, you know, and but at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses, you know, and we've seen, you know, with the new owner, with Mr. Khan and stuff, he's a no-nonsense type of guy, you know, and once again, to him, it's all about wins and losses. So, you've seen what he's done with the, you know, with his head coaching positions last year, and I wonder if you think we're going to see more of the same this year, you know, because we still got to evaluate how the team did overall.
Yeah, I don't see any significant changes going on this year, especially in coaching staff, because, like you got to say, you know, Mr. Khan is a business genius. He knows when you take over a business that is losing money, you're not necessarily going to turn it around. I'm not saying the Jags are losing money, but you were handed a broken franchise dealing with sins of the past, with bad draft picks, first-round draft picks that aren't even on this team anymore that are, for whatever reason, for the past maybe 10 years almost, trying to find your first-round draft pick. So you're dealing with those sins of the past, and to come and have a coach double your win total in his first year is a stepping stone in the right direction. Now, if it, you know, next year he has 4 wins, the year after that 4 wins, then we'll maybe be talking about some sort of changes. But right now, he's definitely moving in the right direction with a team that couldn't compete with some of the most talented teams in the league.
Yeah, and those are the only teams that they have problems with. You know, you talk about, you know,
Seattle Seahawks,
the Denver Broncos, the Niners. San Diego Niners. I mean, you know, those are the teams, only teams that struggle. But now the other teams that are struggling teams, they beat them all. You know, they lost to Buffalo. But other than that, if it was another struggling team, the Jags were able to come out on top. So I think they are ahead of the curve. And when you think about it in that light, just a few upgrades on the roster. You got a lot more competitive football.
I mean,
team.
You can't ask for much more than taking a team that only had 2 wins and doubling your win total in 1 year. It's
and
not
they can
a bad
do that. Do that every year for the next 2 years.
We're talking playoffs in 3 years.
There we go, baby.
Bueller Switch Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Switch Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Taking more of your calls after this on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Really didn't get any info on the guys that were hurt because we didn't have to. Clay Harbor and Miller were both out of this game, but they don't have to play next week, so you're not really going to hear too much on the injury front with along with those guys. But that's what happened injury-wise for this game today, and that's really all we've talked about for this entire game because no one really cares. 30-10 loss, last game of the season, 4-12. I mean, you actually helped yourself by now you get the third draft pick as opposed to maybe the eighth or ninth if you would have won that game. So all in all, it was a good day for the Jags.
Bring on 2014, baby.
So yeah, exactly. We're talking about the free agency period, the draft picks, anything postseason related at 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Billy in Jags Beats. Billy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks, guys. Real quick, outside of, since we already have our left tackle coming back for next year, I think the most important position on the offensive line, of course, is the center. We got to replace Brad Meester. Now, do you think it's more important to have an experienced veteran, which we would go through free agency to replace him, or you think we ought to draft a center maybe in the second or third or even fourth round?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough call because if you look at center free agents, Alex Mack, he's the only guy out there really that's worth signing, and that's going to mean his price tag's probably going to be pretty big, and do you really want to spend a huge salary cap on your center? And when you look at drafting a center, I think overall in the NFL, that's one of those positions that's really important, but it's really undervalued when it comes to draft-wise. You can find small, undersized guys that are actually really good in the league. I mean, you look at Jeff Saturday for years at Indy. He was the smaller but athletic center, and he played for how many years in the NFL and was really successful? I mean, Pro Bowls year after year after year. So I think you can actually wait and go in maybe the fourth and fifth round and still find a great quality center that could start for years.
Yeah, you got the top-rated center, and he's projected to go somewhere in the first or second round, actually, is Travis Swanson from Arkansas. Then looking at Weston Richburg from Colorado State, Brian Stork, those are from Florida State. Those guys, just 300 pounds. I mean, that's really not big. I think, and Swanson's right at about 318. They're all projected to be in those first three rounds. I mean, so as for centers, that seems like that's kind of high for offensive,
Yeah, I mean, that's projected, but when you think about it, it's like how many centers do you see usually go in those first couple rounds? Usually it's like, all right, now I'm based on need, and not a lot of teams need a center because you only really need one, maybe two at the most.
Well, hey, why not go ahead and get a center fairly early to match your quarterback that you're going to have and have them grow together? I mean, you never know. I mean, I think that it's
never gonna, thought of that. That was a good point, having a rookie center and a rookie. I mean, that could be some rookie woes there the first year, but you have the same guy, and that comfortability factor goes in. I mean, those two are touching the ball every single play.
Yeah, but you'll have, with Wineri, I would consider him a strong veteran. To have a rookie center next to Wineri would be okay now. Now, the guard with Rackley being in and out, he's a little unstable as far as, physically he'll be able to play well, but just his he hasn't played a lot, so I wouldn't give him his lack of experience. Although this will be like his third season, he's not a real experienced guy. So, I don't know. They have some really tough decisions.
I think you'll agree. It doesn't necessarily matter who you are and how great you are. What matters is that the same five guys play in all 16 games. That's the biggest thing of any offensive line. You might have a weak spot, but then your players that stand next to you learn what your weakness is. If you're, weak on one pull, then, your best buddy right next to you is going to step up and be like, all right, I know I got to help him out. It's not in the actual play, but I know he usually struggles on this, so let me give a quick little chip here and then go on my business.
And one of the things, centers the majority of the time are helping. They're not really one-on-one blocking a whole lot. It's them and the guards taking on somebody. They don't have to do all that. They have to be an extension of the quarterback. They got to see everything. They diagnose and call whatever's going to take place on the blocking scheme for the offensive line. So, if you do get a young guy, it definitely will be a learning curve.
355 NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Don't know how many fans are going to like having a rookie center and a rookie quarterback on the field at the same time.
Some fumbled exchanges, probably.
Let's go to Kevin in McClinney. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas. You guys had a great season, and I wish you a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I hope that Maurice Jones-Drew stays around, but I'm concerned about his agent. Especially what happened before last season, where he held out, and the agents are always looking for more money. And I'll go ahead and I'll listen to your answer on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, but here's what you got to look at. You got to look at the whole picture. The year he held out was the year he came back from winning the rushing title. So that's when his stock was at his highest. He could demand more money. And the Jaguars, you know, give him credit. They didn't give in. He still came back. But you look what's happened since. The numbers keep going down. The injuries keep going up. So you go out on the open market this time, you're not the same back you were when you were holding out trying to get more money then. So even if his agent can try to get all the money he wants, if no team's willing to pay it, and I don't think they're going to be, he could come back, and it could be for a real cheap price.
And I think the timing that the agent had as far as having him to hold out was premature. Not too many guys hold out with 2 years left on the deal. I mean, you come back.
But if you look at it, the agent looks like a genius now because the last 2 years, the productivity has gone way down, and that's a good $10, $15 million swing right
there.
And I think
that's been primarily a result of him holding out that first year because he missed the whole training camp, and he came back. His body wasn't ready to roll. He had to spend 4 or 5 games just to get himself into really good football shape, gets injured. Now he spends the whole offseason, still doesn't have all the time to keep himself prepared, to get prepared to play. So I don't think that was a good move.
I don't think it matters. I think it's just because he's getting old. I think hold out or not, he's still – I mean, seriously, though. I still mentioned it earlier. When you look down the list, once running backs hit 30, that's like their wall. They're done for the majority. And when you got a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew that was so much of the offense, like 70% of the time getting the ball in one form or another, taking all those hits, making all those blocks, it takes a toll on your body.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, and when that age starts to creep in, the offseason becomes that more important. Now, when you're having to nurse injuries and you can't, as a running back, do the things necessary to have your body prepared to play running back, it's definitely, along with the age, I would have to agree with you, and not being able to prepare in the offseason like you normally do. Because I'll tell you, as I got older, that offseason became even more important. You know,
it got shorter. You started starting earlier.
You had to start earlier. You had to do more things. You had to prepare your body a lot differently than I did, you know, the first 4 to 5 years in the league. So, not being that offseason is the most important, especially as you get older, is the probably most important time for a football player.
355 NFL 1. That's 355-6351. Going to Glenn in Middleburg. Glenn, how you doing?
Good, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call this evening.
Thank you.
Got a couple points for you. First of all, just to kind of piggyback on talking about who might be a possible replacement for Brad at center after 14 years with the ball club. You know, you look at a guy like Mike Brewster would be the first guy you would think about because Mike did play center at Ohio State in his collegiate career. Remember this name just for future conversation. The All Pac-12 center out of USC, Marcus McNeil, declared for the NFL draft over the weekend. Whether or not he's actually going to go through with that, I don't know. And Marcus played only 1 year at center after shifting over from guard. Now, he doesn't get the pub that these other fellas get, Grasso at Oregon, Brian Stork. But remember that name, Marco.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be he's a really good player. By the way, McNeil replaced an all-conference center in Khalid Holmes this year.
Okay, now, say his name one more time.
Marcus McNeil.
Marcus McNeil.
It was in the TU yesterday that he declared for the draft. He's played center 1 year and made all first team Pac-12. So that's an outstanding job.
Something tells me Tony Boselli knows exactly who he is.
I guarantee it. The second thing is, and I know, you know, we've thrown Blaine under the bus for 3 seasons, and rightfully so, and he would admit that to us if he met us face to face. Let's face it, Dave Caldwell. If I were Dave Caldwell, and I'm not that smart. Trust me. My first move this week or next week. Bye-bye to Blaine. Cut ties, guys. And I understand, guys, that we're going to take a cap hit on this. But you know what? Sometimes you have to man up and do the hard things. And I know this new regime has done that. Look at all the roster moves we've made. What, 250 roster moves this season or some ridiculous number?
Yeah, it's something insane like that.
You've got to move forward. Bringing him back to me, and you guys alluded to that with a caller a few moments ago, as a third string quarterback, what does that prove? And also, you talk about Denard. In a 53-man roster, Marco, everybody is essential. You've got to have somebody. Number one, you got to be accountable. Number two, you have to have something to bring to the table. Blaine brings nothing, and Denard is a project. Now, with a team that finishes 4-12, guys, we don't have that kind of margin of error for rosters to be filled with folks like that. I mean, I think that's, that lends some credence to the fact that you need to get rid of Gabbert, bite the bullet, and get rid of Denard Robinson as well.
Okay.
Good thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I said. It's, you know, you learn what you can. If you don't know where to place him, there's more essential pieces, especially in the team that needs depth.
I think you – I mean, I understand where you're coming from with Denard. You just give him an opportunity during the offseason. It wouldn't be cut him prior to mini camps. You bring him, let allow him to go through the training camp to see if he's gotten better. He's had to adjust. You know, you figure this is a guy, for one, you got him running down on punts. He, that's something he's never done, tackling people. You figure right here in Florida as a high school football player, he played quarterback his whole life. So he doesn't know how to play running back. And believe me, these guys that are playing running back right now in the NFL, they've been playing running back their whole lives. Yeah. That's not an easy task.
It's a special player to actually be able to move positions once you get to the NFL.
And catching the ball. That's not his deal. He's been throwing the ball his whole career. So this is a complete adjustment to this young man's career, what he's been doing since peewee football. You know what I mean? It's a lot easier to make this adjustment maybe as a college player going from quarterback to the wide receiver. I think that you give him the whole offseason, the preseason, go through training camp, get into the preseason games, give him plenty of opportunities, see if he's gotten better, and then make the decision on whether you
maybe
get
a little early to make the comparison, but another draft pick, used to be a quarterback in college, got moved to receiver.
Oh, your man
Matt Jones. Yeah. Another Matt Jones on our hands, maybe. 355 NFL 1. We're coming right back. Last segment of the year on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. This is the Scoreboard Show. Last segment for the year. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. And I guess we should throw on this guy, Saqib. I'm a little mad at you, man, and a little worried because you didn't call in last week. We're like, what happened to Saqib, man? He calls every week, and then last week you were a no-show. What happened?
You know, just a little disappointed, you know what I mean? But
it is what it is.
Nah, man, I'm straight. Let me chime in on a few stuff before I get off, right? I mean, I'm really happy that, you know, to talk to you guys pretty much every week. You know, I love you guys, but I'm going to miss you. But let me say this. I think I was looking on some websites that Mercedes Lewis' contract is like over $8 million. Jason Babbitt's contract is like $6.1 million. I said if some of these guys can take a little pay cut, I want Jason Babbitt back. I think Jason Babbitt, few not smart penalties that he made overall, I think he has had a great season. I think Mercedes Lewis is way overpaid. If he can take a little pay cut, I want him back. And I do want Maurice Jones-Drew back. I do not want Henny back. And I'm going to tell you why. I think we can find Josh McCown, I think his name, the guy from the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
I think we can go get him. He can be a serviceable guy for us to go next season and not pay him a lot of money. And I just don't see – he's a sitting duck. Chad Henne does not move around. He just sits there and just gets sacked. And I think I don't want him back. I don't like how he plays quarterback. And I really hope in the draft that we draft – a defensive guy. The guy out of UCLA, I can't remember his name, Barr or whatever
his
name is.
Yeah, the linebacker Barr, exactly.
Yes, I think I've seen two UCLA games, and I really like him. I like him more than the South Carolina pass rusher. I really do. Just my thing is. So I hope they draft him and then see where it goes from there. And I'm going to miss you guys and hopefully hear from you guys next year.
Definitely, man.
You have a great new year, Saqib.
Yeah, you know, he brings up a good point about, you know, getting a guy like McCown. But when you look at it, too, he mentioned it, money. Why would you bring in a guy that's probably going to be one of the higher-paid quarterbacks in the offseason, free agent-wise? Why would you pay him a high salary if you're basically just renting him for maybe half a year? Why wouldn't you wait on a guy like a Henny who's probably not going to be gobbled up by these teams? They're going to go through the top quarterbacks. Those three or four are going to go out, and then those later guys, a guy like a Henny, you can get on the ultra cheap because you know you're just renting them out for maybe a year, even half a year.
Mm-hmm. And I liked Saqib's thought about Barr, and a defensive guy. And I think that the maturity, a senior, and Anthony Barr at outside linebacker, because that is a position that they need pretty heavily, an outside linebacker. You know, because Russell, He's really – he wouldn't start on any other football
team. I thought we were in SEC country here. We've gotten two Pac-10 calls in the past 15 minutes, man. I'm starting to rethink what's the dominant conference
We'll get a
here.
Chance to take a really good look at him in his bowl game that's coming up. But, I agree. You know, Henny's ability is very limited, but going and paying a guy like McCown doesn't make a whole lot of sense if he's just going to be here temporarily. Exactly. He's definitely going to be an upgrade with a younger guy.
Unless you're not planning on getting a guy in the draft in a year or two, then you go and get a guy like that and make him your franchise, or trade for a guy like a Cousins and make him your franchise.
And you got to look at McCown has done a really good job at Chicago, and he had Brandon Marshall, had the big tight end, and then Alshon Jeffries, and then you got Forte running the ball. So, I mean, you got to recognize the weapons and what he was able to get done. You have none of that here with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Marco, another good season.
Man,
hopefully
great.
We don't get cut in the offseason. Hopefully we're back for next year.
We better go get our offseason workouts in, man.
Yeah, I'm demanding a pay raise or I'm walking.
There we go. We negotiate.
Thanks for everybody for listening all year long. We really appreciate all the phone calls. Like I said, hopefully we're back next year. You can always, call Mike Dorwin and say, we love these guys. Dan Edwards, call him too and say, we love these guys. We want them on every week.
Put us in the Pro Bowl.
We want them on 2 hours. Thanks for listening to the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.
Yo!